I'm Chip Hanna, and this is the For You Leaders podcast featuring Kirk Dando, where we truly go beyond the veneer. You'll experience the raw and the real of leadership. You'll see your feet not miles away from the top. Would you get a tattoo of your company's core values? Probably not, but you probably don't work at Casasa.
Chip, you know what? I do not have a Casasa tattoo, I will admit, but I've seen lots of them. And guess what? Casasa will even pay for it.
Kirk, what would possess someone to get a tattoo of their company's core values?
Chip, that's a really great question. You know what? To understand the motivation, you really have to understand the culture of Casasa. It is not only unique, it is truly inspiring and engaging. People that work there love it. However, if you're an outsider kind of hearing about some of the stories or the fables of it, you might even think it's cultish. And I assure you, I have been in the middle of it, and it is not cultish at all. It might be the reason why they are so successful. Today, we're going to talk again with Gabe Krachik, the CEO of Casasa. If you missed the last episode, I'm going to strongly encourage you to stop this and listen to the previous episode. In the last episode, you'll hear about how Casasa is taking on Goliath and winning. It is an incredible message for any entrepreneur. In today's episode, you'll hear why Gabe is so obsessed with culture and how he operationalizes their values into the culture. Listen in as Gabe talks about how he became focused on culture and its importance.
Well, the patch is our visual representation of our four values, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But really, to understand the story, you've got to go back to when I was in high school. And my father, who was at the time very, very sick with brain cancer, had just had to retire from his job. He was CEO of a relatively large company in the oil refinery services kind of industry. So, you know, really kind of roughneck kind of group of people. And I had remembered my whole life as I was growing up, my dad was obsessed with culture. I mean, we'd at the dinner table talk about how you got to love your employees and how, you know, there might be 10% wrong with them, but there's 90% right. Focus on the right. And I'd hear these lessons as I was growing up. And then I went to his retirement party when I was in high school, and I saw these guys that got up there with tears in their eyes saying how dad changed their life. I still remember Mac Bozart, who I'm still friends with today, giving a speech, crying, saying, you know, because of Mike, my dad, he was able to, you know, leave the field where he was turning a wrench and work his way up to vice president. Now his daughter's going to college, and that just really impressed the heck out of me. And so when I was 22, I took over Dealerskins, which was the first company that I ran, and I didn't really know at all what I was doing. The circumstances that allowed me to become the CEO of that company are just so lucky, it's ridiculous. There's no way I can take credit for it. It was like it fell in my lap. But I had a zoology degree from LSU. I'm 22 years old. I don't know anything about technology. I don't know anything about the car business. I don't know how to run a business. The only thing I knew that I could do, because I thought I had learned it from my dad and I'd seen the impact, was to try to build a great culture. And at Dealerskins, I think that we did that. You know, as we grew over the years, by the time that we sold the business, I was so proud of that culture. I mean, it just hummed. And I thought that I knew what I was doing. After we sold the business, I not too long after that, moved over to Bankview. But I stayed in touch with the people at Dealerskins, and I called up Vanessa Vanameed, who now runs operations here at Casasa, but she worked at Dealerskins at the time. And I called her up and I said, tell me how the culture is doing. I just want to make sure it's still good. And she said, oh God, it's horrible. And I said, well, does anybody still talk about the Dealerskins spirit of love? And she said, nobody would even know what those words mean. And I remember being genuinely crestfallen. This wasn't like, oh, you know, darn, the culture's not what it used to be. This was, you know, my dad had passed away by this time. This was my kind of homage to what he had taught me. I thought that I could create something great like he had created. And I realized that what I had created was so ephemeral that 6 months after I left the business, it had evaporated. And there's a line that I've associated with this experience from Jim Collins' Built to Last. Basically, that great leaders are clockmakers, they're not time tellers. And what I realized I had done at Dealerskins was be the time teller. I was the culture, and I mean that not at all egotistically. I mean it in a self-deprecating way, because, you know, I would go out there and do the rah-rah speeches. I would talk about culture. I'd ask everybody how they're doing. I would smooth over conflicts. But once I left, I just thought somebody else would go do those things, but I had done nothing to operationalize them. And clearly, no one went and did it, and the culture was gone as soon as it was there. And so I was determined not to let that happen at Bankview. And the first thing that I wanted to do was to make sure that the culture would never get associated with me again. And we created this symbol for our values called the patch. But the idea behind it was the patch is inanimate. It's not a person. It is the representation of the values. We have a $10,000 bronze sculpture of the patch in our lobby so that it's not going anywhere. It's something that people can point at and say, that's what we stand for. But it also, by using a symbol, I think taps into more of the emotional side of a person. And if you think about, like, I remember one day I was driving to go see a bank in Iowa, and the meeting was going to be Saturday morning. This was late Friday night. The sun was setting over a cornfield, and there was this big, big old rustic barn, and it had a tattered American flag painted on it that said, "In God We Trust." And I got chills when it was just like something about the Americana-ness of it, the sun setting, the cornfield, the barn, the big American flag, and I got chills. And I started thinking, like, you know, if that had just said freedom, it just wouldn't have been the same. There's something about seeing a symbol that you emotionally connect with. So part of the reason we wanted to create that patch was to have something that would be able to speak more to people's right brain, and just instantly when you see it, you don't have to think about it. You know the feeling that you associate with that. And since then, you know, we didn't stop at just building the patch. We infuse the patch values into every aspect of how we evaluate employees, how we hire employees, how we onboard employees. I, as the CEO, am subjected to patch reviews by every single employee in the company, so they can review my performance and tell me what I'm doing wrong. Every manager that gets reviewed by their employees on patch values has to present a presentation, kind of like an after-action review, to say, here's what you said I'm doing right, here's what you said I'm doing wrong, here's what I commit to do better over the next period. And then they have to bring that back to their employees, you know, in the next 6 months and say, here's what I improved, I think, here's where I did worse, here's what I'm going to try to do again next time. So it really creates a sense of accountability, both from the top down and the bottom up, to live up to those values. And I'm relatively confident now that if I got hit by a truck, that this engine will keep running, which is really what I wanted to do. I wanted to create a culture that would sustain without me having to be here.